Bob Marcus, who's retiring in January after 25 years at the helm of the Kansas City Area Development Council. The council's charge is to take something of a macro view of the economic development needs of the Kansas City metro area. Bob Marcus, welcome and congratulations.
Steve, good morning. Great to be here.
As I said, you've been leading the Kansas City Area Development Council for 25 years. Compare the Kansas City of 1990 with the Kansas City of today when it comes to the city's growth potential and what you've seen out there.
Well, the physical changes are obvious.
Yes.
We're very aware of the dramatic changes that have taken place at the front door of Kansas City, to the downtown Kansas City, Missouri. Night and day difference. Many of us remember when you could walk through downtown Kansas City at noon or 6 o'clock in the evening and not see very many people. No places to eat, not much to do. And, of course, it is just dramatically different. I think another great physical change is what has occurred in Wyandotte County. Some of us will remember what Wyandotte County was like prior to the development initially of the Speedway and then all of the development that subsequently came. Johnson County continues to blossom, gets bigger and better. And so I think compared to 25 years ago, we have a much more rounded community with a lot of assets and lots of parts of the community.
So when it comes to selling the metro area, Bob, how much easier is it today to sell the thing compared to when you first began, given all those changes?
Well, when you have a product to sell, there's a couple of components. First of all, there's the product itself. And certainly the Kansas City area, the region, is a far better product than it was in the past. Not just physically, because that's important. It sets the tone. But equally important are the assets that are a little harder to see or to define, and in particular the workforce. I mean, we have a very dynamic, skilled workforce. We are increasingly aware of how important it is to attract talented young people to Kansas City, to keep them here. We've done a lot to help companies in that area, and that becomes part of our sales presentation.
Is that one of your big worries, just keeping young people here, attracting them here to the metro?
Well, I don't think it's a worry, but it certainly is something that's very relevant. You know, companies today want to locate in a community that can meet their needs for bright, talented men and women today. But they also want to know that the community where they locate can be a magnet for talent. When they make a decision between Kansas City and Dallas, they're not just making a decision based on physical attributes or the presence of a certain kind of workforce today. They're looking 10, 20 years down the road, and they're saying, which city, which region can best help us attract the talent that we need to be world-class competitors?
Mm-hmm.
And as long as Kansas City is well aware of that and we work to compete well in that arena, we're going to do fine.
So when it looks, when you look at that arena, this idea of attracting young folks to the metro, what are one or two things that we need to be thinking about, Bob, as you head out the door that should be on our agenda to do just what you're talking about?
Well, anything that is going to be attractive to a bright, talented young person in their 20s or 30s and cause them to say, you know, I want to live here. Now, in general, that means a place that appreciates the arts and cultural community. Life is much more than just where you go to work. It is increasingly about enjoying a well-rounded life, which certainly today means access to arts and culture. So I think the more that we can do in that area, the better. The more that we can support and elevate the importance of the entrepreneur, the better. I think it's things like extending the streetcar line at some point.
I was going to say, you hear all this stuff about walkability, livability.
Yeah, so many people today are looking for a walkable urban environment. And in some cases, that can be created. In some cases, it is there and simply has to be enhanced.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, those things matter a lot.
What about this whole idea of living in a city of a world champion baseball team? Well, how big of a difference does that make, or does it make a difference?
You know, I think the difference that it makes, and this goes back to your first question, what's the difference between now and 25 years ago? I think Kansas Cityans today are a much more confident group than they were back 25 years ago. I think we have a much greater
sense. I'm sensing that, too.
A much greater sense of the fact that we are doing well. We've got a great city. We can be proud of it. We can walk with a little bit of a swagger, some of this traditional Midwestern humility.
Yeah,
can be tucked away a little bit. I don't think we ever want to lose that. I don't think we ever will, because there's something that sets us apart from the rest of the country and the rest of the world. But we no longer have to apologize for Kansas City. We never had to,
yeah,
but we certainly can be very proud of this community today. And when you're proud of where you live, when you're happy about where you live, you're willing to do things to invest in the community, whether it be as an individual or a major corporation, that you may have been hesitant about in the past.
Yeah.
So it does make a big difference.
I'm so interested to hear you say that, because I certainly sense it from the people I talk to, and you're so right. I think that sort of age-old reticence to really sort of speak out and be bullish about our town, a lot of that has washed away, and there is a little swagger to this town, as there should be, I think.
You know, I used to say maybe 20 years ago that Kansas Cityans, if they had grown up on the shores of Lake Superior, would have renamed the lake pretty good.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
that was just sort of us. You know what? Today, we would proudly call it Lake Superior, because we realize that Kansas City is an exceptional community. We're proud of it, and we're happy to mm-hmm. tell our story.
So when you talk to companies about our town, our biggest asset is what?
Well, I think the answer to that depends on the kind of company that we're talking to. And mm-hmm. I'm not attempting to avoid an answer, but it's like asking you and five other people, well, if you're shopping for a new home, what are you looking for? And the answer is different for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So as an organization that is responsible for attracting jobs and capital investment talent to Kansas City, we have to first listen to what the customer is concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
A company that is interested in a million square foot distribution space has a whole lot of different issues than a company that is concerned about 100,000 square feet of corporate headquarters. And so there yeah. is no single answer to your question.
What do you find that employers ask you most about, Bob, when deciding whether to choose the Kansas City area as a place to set down roots or not? Is there a question that seems to come up over and over again?
Well, more and more today, it's all about talent, Steve. It's yeah. about access to the right talent today. It's about what are we doing to prepare the right talent for the future.
Yeah.
It's about is Kansas City a place that can be sticky? If we bring somebody in here, will they be here 2, 3, 5 years from now, or will they want to go to Chicago or New York?
And that matters a lot to people.
It does matter.
Yeah.
And it is increasingly about access to talent.
Hmm. Bob Marcus is my guest. He's retiring in January after 25 years at the helm of the Kansas City Area Development Council. If you want to join our conversation, 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Again, 816-235-2888, or you can tweet us at KCUR up to date. You know, Bob, we're talking about all this, and yet the job growth numbers in the Kansas City metro still a little on the weak side, at least compared to similar cities across the country. Brookings and the Mid-America Regional Council said earlier this year that the Kansas City area's rate of growth in jobs, wages, and output had fallen behind the rest of the nation from basically 2000 all the way to 2012. One other Brookings report said Kansas City's recovery from the recession ranked 73rd out of 80 cities studied. In fact, Kansas City was ranked as not recovered from the recession, according to Brookings. What do you make of all that?
Well, clearly, we want to do better.
Yeah.
And I think we can do better. Back in the 1990s, the growth in Kansas City was significantly exceeding the growth of the U.S. as a whole. It began to slow in the 2000s, and you're right, we are not where we want to be today. Recognizing that, some civic organizations have come together, the Mid-America Regional Council, the Civic Council, and the Kansas City Area Development Council, and the Chamber of Commerce is
right.
playing an important role there, too. We've come together, and we've created something called KC Rising. This is a process that has been extremely inclusive. We've brought in men and women from across this region, from both sides of the state line, from business, from the cultural community, from the governmental community. And we are going through a very in-depth and lengthy process to develop what might be called a business plan for the region. Mm-hmm. In other words, let's all get on the same page. Let's agree to what has to be done to elevate the level of growth. And then let's work together to make that happen. The results of that will be unveiled in the spring of 2016. I'm very optimistic that because of the concurrence in the process that we have had, that it will, in fact, make a difference. If we have a playbook that we can all follow, I have no doubt that we can begin to change the economic trajectory of the Kansas City region.
You know, Bob, if you can make a case that so many things are going right here in Kansas City right now, you know, people feel better about the city, lots of good things happening, you know, all around the metro, then what is it? Why does job growth lag here the way that it does? What do you point at? People point at lots of problems. What is the issue in your mind?
Well, I think we're still trying to completely understand that. You know, there are a little over a million people that work in Kansas City today. And job growth comes from the companies that are here today expanding. Mm-hmm. They have to be able to sell more product, and they would then need to hire people to create that product. An awful lot of growth that has to come from existing companies. One of the ways to fuel that growth is to help those companies export more of their products. We have a relatively modest amount of export that comes out of this region, either goods or services, and there's mm-hmm. certainly an opportunity for growth on the export side. Another place where jobs are created are when entrepreneurs decide, you know, I've got a great idea and I want to start something new. We've made a lot of progress on the entrepreneurial side, but there's still places where we can do a better job of linking capital with the entrepreneur and then surrounding that entrepreneur in his capital with an ecosystem that's going to help that man or woman succeed.
Because that's what you hear when people sit around this table here at KCUR. You hear it over and over again that the problem is money, lack of capital, lack of ready capital to help those entrepreneurs get up and going. Well, we've talked a lot about entrepreneurship in this community, but it's the money that's holding back.
Steve, I think that we have found that there's plenty of money in Kansas City. That money sometimes, however, is cautious money. And it is money that is not always publicly known. In other words, our investors in Kansas City are sometimes a little hesitant to let others know that they made investments.
Yeah.
But there is plenty of money in Kansas City. And if we can do a better job of linking the folks with those investment dollars to entrepreneurs that deserve those dollars, and mm-hmm. let's face it, not every idea is a great idea.
Sure.
Not every entrepreneur deserves to be funded.
Sure.
But if we can do a better job there, and then finally, if we can continue to attract new companies that create jobs. So it's growth from those that are here today, it's creation of new enterprises, and it's continuing to add 2,000-4,000 jobs a year from outside this region, competing against Dallas and Denver, and bringing those jobs into this region. And of course, that's the focus of the Area Development Council.
Bob Marcus, the retiring president and CEO of the Kansas City Area Development Council, is my guest. You know, not that we can do anything about it, but one culprit you often hear that people point at often, Bob, is the state line. We're one of the few major metropolitan areas split roughly down the middle by a divide like that. How big a factor is that?
Well, my view is get over it. It is what it is.
Yeah, right.
We live in that particular environment. And I think you can either try to blame the things that don't happen in Kansas City on the state line, or you can just recognize it is what yeah. it is. Let's work around it, and let's move forward. You know, there's a school of thought that says, and I subscribe to this sometimes, that says that Kansas City is really blessed because when we are talking to a company from anywhere else in the world, we have the ability to offer to them two business climates. They can locate in our region and either be in Missouri or be in Kansas. Mm-hmm. Very few organizations like ours can offer that choice. If you're in Denver, you're going to have yeah. the option of the Colorado business climate, and that's it. We have more to offer than that.
What does the Kansas City Area Development Council do exactly, Bob?
We are the sales and marketing arm of Regional Kansas City. Now, think of Kansas City as a big company. Well, somebody's got to be out around the world telling the story of that company, selling its products, working with customers who are interested in buying the product, and coordinating all of that. Now, we serve 18 counties. Just imagine if KCADC didn't exist. What that would mean is that 18 people from 18 different counties, and then many other people from various cities, would all be talking to the same customer. Mm-hmm. That customer would very quickly throw up his hands and say, "This is crazy. You know, there's way too much confusion here. I'm not going to locate in Kansas City." They want a single source of entry into the community. And then our job is to be that source of entry and then to pull into the process our community partners. They may be in Kansas City, Missouri. They may be in Overland Park. They may be in Topeka, Kansas. But our job then is to find the resources and the assets that potential customer needs to make a deal and cause that to happen here in our region, while somebody just like me in our team is working to make it happen in Dallas, Texas.
How many people, roughly, how many employees do you have?
We have 22 employees.
And your money comes from where? What funds the Kansas City Area Development Council?
Sure. We're a membership organization. The great majority of our funds come from the private sector, but we're also very fortunate that we have 40 chambers of commerce or local economic development groups, sometimes cities, sometimes counties, that are members of our organization, and they fund us as well.
You said 17 counties. You guys sprawl over, what, up to St. Joe, down south? Where? Give me a sense of your territory.
We do include St. Joe, Topeka, Lawrence.
Wow.
We go down I-35 into Kansas, so we get to Ottawa, Kansas. And the reason for that is that the companies that we talk to aren't all going to be located in either Overland Park or downtown Kansas City, Missouri. Mm-hmm. They are looking for options. And the more product that we have on the shelf to offer, the better our chances are of succeeding.
You know, you were a Chamber of Commerce guy, Bob, before you took this job. What drew you to this position into Kansas City to begin with?
Well, I was the executive vice president of the Columbus, Ohio Chamber of Commerce, but my responsibilities in that position were for economic development in the Columbus, Ohio region. Prior to that, I was the president of the Peoria Area Economic Development Corporation. Huh. So in truth, I've always been focused on regional economic development. Yeah. Columbus was a great town, but when there was an opportunity to lead KCADC, I wanted to compete for that and was blessed to be asked to lead that organization.
You know, what is it about your own background? What drew you to economic development so much? What was the power, what was the lure there for you?
Well, it's a very interesting story. I was a school principal.
Really?
And was working on a doctoral degree in education.
And where were you?
I was in Battle Creek, Michigan at the time.
No kidding.
And as part of my doctoral program, I had to do an internship in something that was not related to education. And by the grace of God, I ended up in the local economic development group in Battle Creek, Michigan. And I discovered during that summer the most exciting environment that I could possibly ever imagine. And at the end of my internship, I was offered a job with the organization. I went to the school board. They let me out of my contract, and I switched careers, never took another class in education, and began a career in economic development.
What was so exciting to you about it?
It was a going, blowing, dynamic environment. I mean, we had people coming in from Japan and from Germany and from the United States, and we're dealing with the city councils, and we're dealing with governors and mayors. And there was just so much enthusiasm and so much excitement. And we were making a difference in the lives of people.
Mm-hmm.
When you can attract a company that's going to add 100 jobs or 1,000 jobs, you are so positively influence hundreds and thousands of people. And that, to me, was very, very important.
You mentioned a little while ago that when you're doing your job at the Kansas City Area Development Council, you travel the world at times. Tell me about that. How does that, people around the world might have interest in Kansas City. Give me an example of that.
Well, we have companies that have operations here. that are based in Japan, in China, in Spain, in Portugal, in Mexico, in Canada, in Germany, in England.
Yeah.
I mean, our customers are everywhere except Kansas City. And there's no reason on earth why we should limit our search for opportunity to the shores of this country. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of opportunity within the United States, but there's an awful lot of opportunity elsewhere as well. And so we have never restricted ourselves simply to U.S. companies. We have to be open to doing business with the world. And I've had the pleasure and the privilege of representing our community around the world.
That's great. Well, before you leave, Bob, I wanted to ask you about a couple of key accomplishments during your tenure. One major one, development of the animal health corridor from Columbia to Manhattan on the Kansas side. How well established is the corridor now, and how significant is that for our region here?
Well, first of all, we have to recognize that a lot of people played a big role in making that happen. We had a number of animal health companies in Kansas City. We just didn't realize it. We had this great asset, and we just weren't quite aware that it was there. Somebody said it's like putting on a pair of jeans from last year, reaching in your pocket, and discovering that there's a $20 bill in your pocket. You'd forgotten about it.
Yeah, right.
So these companies were there. We branded them as a regional asset. We began to go out and tell the story around the country and then around the world. Today, the Kansas City Animal Health Corridor within economic development is viewed as the single best example of cluster development. And within the life sciences and animal health community, it is a known entity throughout the United States and, frankly, around the world.
And what kind of difference has it made for our region, Bob?
Well, we've been able to attract 30-some other animal health companies to Kansas City because of the gravitational pull of what we had to begin with. We have been able to attract $150-some million of investment capital into Kansas City for companies that are young and entrepreneurial and looking to find funding from larger sources of funds. We've been able to add thousands of jobs. Perhaps the biggest success has been the location of the biodefense, yes.
Oh, out in Manhattan, Kansas, yes, the huge facility out there.
Bio and Agro-Defense Facility.
Yeah.
Over $1 billion of capital investment and a huge government investment.
What about the automotive industry? Governor Nixon, who's in town today, often describes it as the second largest concentration of auto-related companies outside of Detroit. Do I have that right? Does he have that right?
Well, he does have it right, and it's a result of a Brookings study that looked at metropolitan areas, and the governor's right. Brookings has said that outside of the immediate Detroit metro, that the Kansas City region, Kansas City metro, is number two in the country in terms of concentration of automobile facilities.
That'll surprise some people who still don't realize that's the case here in Missouri.
Well, it does surprise people. They realize that there's a Ford plant here and a GM plant. Mm-hmm. They probably assume that there are a lot of suppliers. What people often don't realize is the magnitude of the Ford plant in particular. It's really two plants, and because they've retooled so much, there's been a whole new wave of Tier 1 and Tier 2 suppliers that have come from around the world to supply those plants.
Let's go to some phone calls. Bethany from Roland Park. Bethany, good morning.
Good morning.
You're on with Bob Marcus. Bethany, go ahead.
Hi. Okay, my question is in regards to Kansas City being a central location for the United States. How does that play into who you recruit in internationally?
Our central location, Bob, how significant is it?
Well, our location in many ways has been a real blessing for us. It helps us with companies that are looking at a single point location within the country, and they want to find a place where they can locate and serve the entire country. Kansas City clearly has an advantage. We're at the crossroads of five interstate highways. The railroad system crosses through Kansas City, so there's a lot of advantages. On the flip side, in particular, when we're talking with countries or companies based in Europe or Asia, they are often more familiar with the East Coast or the West Coast of the United States. They like the ability to get on a plane in China and get off in Los Angeles or New York or whatever. And so our central location in that case has given us an opportunity to do better.
I just want to ask you maybe one final point about the political climate out here. I cover politics for a living and have for way too much of my life. But sometimes in the legislature, Bob, there are these controversies spring up, like the teaching of evolution. And I'm wondering if that kind of thing slows your work down, your ability to sell us to the rest of the country, to the rest of the world.
You know, we occasionally will get comments that where people have picked up a story about Kansas or a pit story about Missouri. But I can't really say that that those things have had a dramatic impact on our success or failure. Our product, the Kansas City region, is such a good product that in so many cases where somebody may have had a question or a concern, we've quickly been able to overcome that.
Well, school principal to the retiring president and CEO of the Kansas City Area Development Council, Bob Marcus, thanks a lot for your time. Enjoy your retirement.
Thanks, Steve.
Congratulations again.
Thank you.